Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
What did the robot do when he went to eat a hamburger?
What?
He took a megabyte. And this is Stranger Still?
John.
Okay, perfect. Let me just tighten this right here. And I've got the perfect co-host. Okay.
Hi, John.
Hey. That sounds a lot cleaner, a lot more usual. Sorry about that,
Eric. Welcome to Stranger Still.
A podcast where we answer the strange questions you never thought to ask.
I'm Nick Wood.
And I'm John Began.
And I am a robot.
Nick, did you forget to turn off Buttsy?
Hang on.
Okay.
All right, Buttsy's turned off.
Buttsy's the robot butler, so we thought there's two butts. Good name. Regret that. It is etched into his nameplate, though, so...
Yeah, we gave him two butts, is that what you're saying?
Well, what do we do in this podcast?
We already said what we do on this podcast, and today we're going to talk about artificial intelligence, John!
Okay.
And I just want to start off by saying this one was, like, super hard to research and then also, like, simplify into digestible means.
What are you talking about?
What?
To look into?
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence. I can't even artificial intelligence off the top of my head.
Yeah, go for it.
The reason that trees don't have leaves on the bottom is because they're embarrassed.
That's natural selection.
It's called the roots. It's just they want to show off their leaves. So that's why they grow above the ground. That's artificial intelligence, right?
I don't see the connection.
Or is that called fake intelligence?
Oh, I got you. I'm picking up what you're laying down. I'm smelling what you're stepping in.
That's disgusting.
Well, anyway, this actually was hard to research. So if I mess up, I hope someone out there will correct me. Because neural networks is what we're diving down into. There's all kinds of theories of artificial intelligence, and the most promising one right now seems to be neural networks. Have you heard of FaceApp?
I think I have.
It's this wonderful little app that you take a picture of someone's face, and then it has all these different filters. Like, you can make yourself look like an old person, you can make yourself look like the opposite gender, you can make yourself smile, and it puts these really gross fake
smiles.
Okay,
yeah, you did this to me.
Yeah, I turned you into a girl, and you were very attractive.
Everybody posts these on Facebook, but I didn't know which app it was that they were getting it from.
Yeah.
Like, that's a weird Snapchat.
Yeah, it's from FaceApp. And it was cool for 2 minutes. And the people that made this, I think it was like a Swedish company or something, they're under a lot of fire because they accidentally made it racist. Because for a long time, did you know about this?
I think I heard about it.
There was a button on there that, I forget what it was called now.
Beautify or something?
No, it was like the hot button, and then it turned into like sparkle or something. I don't know, but it was supposed to make you hotter. And anytime you made yourself hotter, it made you whiter and more Anglo. So if you're like a darker skinned person, it would always try to make you paler. Because apparently pale is hot.
Yeah. Well, did you look into the developers?
What do you mean?
The guys that made the app? I found it. It was
Well, they are Swedish.
Prince Charles of Sweden.
Of Sweden.
Oh, white is right.
White is all right.
Yeah, he wasn't racist, though.
No, I don't think these guys are actually racist. What was racist was the artificial intelligence, which is the question that I want to answer today, which is artificial intelligence inherently racist?
Oh.
The thing about FaceApp is it uses this thing that I've talked about before, which is a neural network, which we'll dive into.
Did you hear that?
What was that?
What did that robot just say?
Buttsy, I thought I turned you off.
All lives matter.
He
just turned on his own.
He's just answering your questions before you get to them.
Yeah. But the way that neural networks work is that they predict human behavior based on things that we have taught it to fill in a certain gap that we have asked it to fill in. And it's kind of been like a long time sci-fi fantasy to have artificial intelligence that learns and thinks like a human, right?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
It's definitely not at all scary.
No.
What if I told you we already do?
Yeah, Siri.
Oh, well, she just kind of talks back to you.
No, she doesn't. She remembers things.
Yeah?
Hey, Siri.
Hi there, Big Daddy Johnny Cakes.
Yep. What is it remembering? Just your name?
Yeah, Big Daddy Johnny Cakes.
I don't want to know how
what,
you...
Uh,
I don't want to know how you got to that
point.
What
else were you going to say?
What I was going to say is that we already have the AI, and surprise, surprise, it's neural networks. It thinks and it learns, and they're incredibly complicated. So bear with me, everyone out there, and John, because I'm going to blow your mind.
Ow! 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 There it goes. No, not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, I haven't said anything. My goal is to explain it in the simplest way that I can, so that anyone can take this knowledge to like a dinner party and impress your weird uncle.
Yeah. Take that, Uncle Steve. What do you think? Huh? Yeah, I'm not listening to your podcast. I'm not going to listen. Sure. Don't listen to the podcast, Uncle Steve. But when I get all the knowledge from Nick and I impress you up with some pasta fazool.
It's always pasta fazool.
It's fine. He'll listen eventually.
Someday I'll have pasta fazool and be like, oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah.
So to first understand how neural networks works, we need kind of a cursory knowledge of how the brain works.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how the brain works?
A cursory knowledge, is that mean on the internet where you click your cursor into Google and say, how does knowledge work?
Yeah. So our brain is made up of
wrinkles.
Well, you're not wrong.
Wrinkled brain stuff.
Smaller than that,
gray matter,
which is also known as
brain tissue.
And some might call tissue a
cell.
There you go. We got brain cells. We got there.
Oh, man. I'm free from brain cell jail.
Yeah. And there's a more scientific word that you never would have got to because your name's John, and that's called neurons. Mm. And they kind of look like this big, nasty lollipop. So imagine like a moldy lollipop, okay?
No. What?
Brain cells are a moldy lollipop. You got that in your brain?
All of my thoughts are flowing through moldy lollipops.
Okay, good. So the sucker part of the lollipop, is called the cell body.
Mm-hmm. Could you think of anything less gross to explain this next time?
In the center of that, there is a nucleus, which is in all of our cells, and that has all the important stuff like DNA and RNA and all that fun jazz.
Yeah, like creamy chocolate center.
Yep. How many licks does it take? Well, we'll find out next time on... And on the edges of the lollipop, there are these like tiny little veiny fingery looking things, which is called dendrites.
Sure, yeah.
And that's like the moldy part
around
the lollipop.
Definitely want to vomit. Yep. But thinking about vomiting, I'm using those things.
Using them.
Oh.
And dendrites bring information into the cell body. You got that?
Yeah.
So, like, this mold will,
so,
like, be
so they're
like,
basically like octopi at the end of a lollipop.
Yeah. They're like, that.
I need that,
and I'm going to give it to my
give
cell
me
body.
A little thought.
Yep.
Mm.
Now we travel down the stick of the lollipop.
Okay.
We're getting away from the nasty part. The stick is clean.
Okay.
It's protected by the myelin sheath. It's called the axon. Is this the stick of the lollipop.
Right.
And this carries information away from the cell body in the form of electrical charges.
Okay.
You with me so far?
Yeah. Zippity-zappity.
Zippity-zappity. And at the end of the stick, we have what are called synapses. And this transfers information from the axon to from one neuron to the dendrites of another neuron.
Yeah.
So it's taking these electrical charges, turning them into chemicals, and then transferring them into another cell.
When I was a little kid, I was really so frustrated because I didn't know how to synapse. And then my grandpa taught me. And now I know how to synapse, no problem.
I don't remember how I learned how to snap.
I don't know.
Speaking of brains, the article that I read pointed out that a single neuron can be connected to around 10,000 other neurons at once, which is a lot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine 10,000 of anything.
That's sad. That's, I mean, there's...
I don't have a good imagination.
Using a speech? Or, okay.
That's important because that's how we think. And when a thought is thunk, it shoots these electrical charges from neuron to neuron. There can be thousands and thousands of these neurons working on one thought at once.
Yeah, once you thunk, your ship is shunk. Is sunk.
Yeah, lisp over there. He's Sean Connery.
It's a little bit of a clunk.
For those not in our studio right now, John has transformed in front of my eyes into a withered, old, white-haired, white-beard British man.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's Scottish, isn't he?
Yes, he is Scottish.
He is Scottish. So in our brain, how many of these neurons do you think there are just floating around in your skull?
So there's 10,000 in one little baby?
Like in one, connected to one neuron.
Okay, like some stupid amount that's going to make me feel dumb no matter what I say. 8 billion.
That's a lot less than that.
Okay.
Some estimates say around 100 million of these little neurons floating around.
Oh, that's nothing.
That's nothing.
What a dumb brain.
Yeah, that's for a dumb person. But that's what makes a brain so effective and nearly impossible to replicate, is there's so much information traveling and working all at the same time. So our thought is thunk. It bounces from neuron to neuron until we have a conclusion to the thought. That's how our brain works.
Yeah.
And now you know. Steve?
Yeah, Uncle Steve. Jeez. You gonna eat that last vegan meatball? He wouldn't eat that. He'd eat real meat.
Yeah, he's like, I like meat.
Yeah, that's not what he sounds like. But
oh. What's he sound like? I like meat.
Yeah, exactly. This is the first episode I'm going to show him. So. Miss you. And Aunt Donna and Stevie and Kevin.
Yeah. Hi, John's family. Right. So that whole thing is called our brain. And is also what someone might refer to as a real neural network. Because that's, I mean, you break down every word, that's what it is. It's a bunch of neurons, neural, and it's networked together, and it's a network. And it's in your brain, so it's real. Unless we're all just a simulation, but let's not get existential. But that's not the neural network that we're trying to figure out if it's racist. Because the world is perfect and no one is racist, right?
Yeah.
What we're talking about is artificial neural networks, as you probably could have guessed.
Yeah, I read the title. So did everyone else.
Yep. So this is the best way, in my opinion, I'm sure scientists and computer engineers disagree, but this is the best way we have right now to replicate the way the brain learns and thinks.
Hmm.
As of right now, unfortunately, we can't make neurons out of like electrical circuits because computers are just electrical circuits and stuff. So we can't make a brain. So we have to run it all in a simulation inside of a computer.
Oh, yeah. We'll get there soon. And it's going to be gross.
Yeah. It is going to be gross. I mean, like people are printing organs and stuff and making lambs and artificial wombs and stuff.
I wonder if you could just 3D print your brain and then just have a vacation in a robot body.
This
and
is
have
getting it sent scary. Back. Don't ever. I don't like that idea.
No, you just throw it.
That's literally the Matrix.
You know, you just have the experience. You have the vacation, and then you throw. They take your nerve. You like suck the electrons out, and then they throw that brain in the blender, and they reuse it for the next brain.
That's almost the Matrix.
Yeah.
From this article I'm working on, it actually kind of explained how the simulation is done pretty well and pretty simply. The way that the artificial neural networks, or ANNs, as I'm going to call them, are broken down is into three layers. Count them, three.
Okay, one.
The input units layer.
Fun.
Two is the hidden units layer, and the third one is the output units layer.
Yeah,
so everything's
like
broken
one.
Down into these unit layers.
Okay.
So for this explanation, let's imagine the input units layer is our initial thought.
Okay.
That we're thunking.
Let's get an example going while we explain.
What do you got? What's your thought?
My thought is, I think tomatoes are overrated.
That won't work.
Okay, how about, I want to eat that rock.
Okay, I'll make it work.
Okay, I want to eat that rock.
Mm-hmm. So the information that we want the network to start with is, I want to eat that rock.
Yeah, like a robot that's like hungry, like nom nom nom.
Yep,
nom.
So the hidden units layer is our collective neuron, so our brains that are all interconnected to each other.
Uh-huh.
So that is the experience in life that we've learned of consequences to eating a rock.
Yeah.
So maybe I chipped my tooth by falling onto a counter one time, or I ate some hard candy and I choked on it, or sand tastes bad because I ate it once when I was a little bit too old to be eating sand. I knew better, but I still ate it anyway.
Okay.
Well, it was double digits.
I told you. Okay, look.
Sorry.
You don't have to feel bad anymore. That was last weekend. I told you to just give it up.
I just can't. And then the output layer is the conclusion, which is I shouldn't eat that rock.
Right.
So far, so good. Are we good?
Yeah. I think we're clear.
So in the case of ANNs, the collective neurons is pretty limited because it's all based on, or the hidden units, is all based on information that we have fed it. It's not sitting in a classroom learning things. It's not out in the world picking up on information and seeing things happen to other people and having things happen to it.
Yeah.
It's only based on information we can give it.
So it's like, wow, I'm born.
Yep.
I want to eat that rock.
Yeah. It's basically like that. Or it's like, we give it little pieces of information like rocks are hard, rocks don't taste good, rocks will break your teeth, you don't have teeth, is what we feed into this ant.
This is just getting sadder and sadder.
Right.
I don't have teeth? I don't have a body? I don't have a life?
I said we're not getting existential, John.
Okay.
So, first of all, I want to make this point here that if anyone ever says, when am I going to use this in real life? Like you're sitting in math class and you're learning division and you're like, when am I ever going to use this in the real
world? Yeah, cos and sine. Yeah, I'm going to use that all the time.
Yeah. If you ever say that, I'm going to slap you because that helps your brain, okay? It builds these neurons, it builds these synapses, and it helps your brain work more efficiently.
Okay, so it's kind of like going to the gym and holding a barbell and putting it behind your head and lifting it up.
Yeah, and you're like, when am I ever going to use this?
When am I ever going to use this? When am I ever going to need to lift a barbell behind my head?
Right.
No, you're strengthening your muscles.
Yeah.
And your muscles are your cells. So you're just doing a brain workout.
Future.
You don't need the information.
Future Rory, if you ever say that, I'm going to disown you.
Yeah. So also, if you want to twist his words a little bit, you can tell him that, like, you don't have to remember anything.
Yeah. And it's probably, all about working out. Probably at some point, I'll have enough things that she can just splice words together and have whatever she wants me to say.
Yeah.
You can have $1 million.
I approve Rory to go on the field trip to Haiti by herself. You know?
Yeah. Something like that. What I was getting at is we send a thought in this case, it's input units layer.
Mm-hmm.
It's our... Actually, that rock. It bounces around a bunch of units in the hidden units layer, and then it ends up at this output units layer. We simulate neurons within the hidden unit layer by giving all of the bits of information that we fed into it a numerical value, which is called a weight. We just give it a weight.
Okay.
So as the information is passed from one unit to another, it collects this weight from the different information that it bounces off of.
Mm-hmm.
And as the information reaches a new unit in this layer, if the weight meets a threshold value, using quotes here, if it meets this value, it will send that information through all the connected units as well. So it'll, like, the best way I could think of this is like dominoes.
Okay.
So you have like one string of dominoes and you knock it over, and as it's going, it's collecting all this momentum, and then all of a sudden there's like this branch that comes off of your row of dominoes. And if it has enough momentum, it'll knock down that other branch, and that branch will go into all these other branches. But if it doesn't have enough momentum, that's not going to get knocked over, and it's just going to continue along its path.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like such a hard concept to put into words without pictures, so I'm trying my best.
Dominoes is good. Yeah, I like that. That's tough.
Yeah, so...
Hungry. I want Dominoes.
Dude, pizza sounds so good. Yeah. But you can't... I mean, they'll mess up your order.
Oh, it's not real? Okay.
I'm saying that Dominoes will always mess up your order.
Oh, yeah, I get a free pizza every time, no matter what. Oh, no cheese.
No cheese.
Oh, nobody's ever done that before. Sorry, I don't know.
I order from you guys once a week. I know that this has been done before.
Yeah, I told you. Oh, it's fine.
Steven. Not my Uncle Steve.
No. Steven, Domino's, Cedar Rapids.
16th Street.
Get it together.
So sorry if that was convoluted. If you're still with us at this point in the episode, how's your day going?
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good, right?
I was asking the audience.
No, I'm answering for them.
Oh, that's very...
They're sheeple. I'm just going to...
You're going to tell them how their day was.
Yep.
All right.
So, no, I'm just kidding, guys. Let us know on facebook.org.com.
How your day was going.
Yeah, just type it in.
.myspace.
On your own page. Everyone do that on your own page. If we could get everyone to participate, it would be the biggest experiment online.
Just randomly.
Don't tag us or anything. Just write just say, how your day was on your page.
Yeah. It was all right. Just say it was all right.
Yeah, it was okay.
However you would respond to that in words is
what you say what? Like this.
Yeah. So anyway.
So stupid.
It is stupid. So now we're at the easy part, which is that it uses all this weight of all the units that's picked up along the way, and it comes to an output. So there's two ways that these units, these hidden value or these hidden unit layers are inserted,
mm-hmm.
which is the first way I've already code. Said like a million times is that we feed it information. Yeah, with code or like in the case of FaceApp, I imagine that they fed it pictures, that sort of thing. And we tell it this is considered correct for human behavior. Or I'm putting correct in air quotes here. And then we feed it another piece of information. We say that this is incorrect for human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a different example written down here, but we'll use the stupid I'm going to eat this rock thing.
Good.
So we tell it, it is not normal human behavior to eat a rock. It is normal human behavior to maybe lick a rock.
Yeah. Just a little taste.
It's normal human behavior to throw a rock. It's normal human behavior to skip a rock on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
It's not normal human behavior to smash a rock on someone's head.
Yeah, it's normal human behavior to engrave mom on it and put it in a garden.
Yeah. So, man, my other example is so much better, but maybe we'll come back to it.
You asked me.
So then it feeds through, it goes through all these things that we have taught it. And maybe we say in the example before, rocks taste bad, you don't have teeth. And you don't have taste buds. That's what we fed into it. Okay. So maybe now the output layer goes through all the connections and it comes to the output layer and it says, well, it tastes bad, but I don't have taste buds or any teeth. So I'm going to eat it anyway.
Yeah.
And the output is, I'm going to eat it.
Yeah, and that's how robots run in the future.
That's how they eat rocks. Well, there's the second way that these hidden unit values are altered, which is we tell it what the output should be, which is don't eat the rock, and it runs through simulation. It comes to I'm going to eat this rock, and it compares it to what we told it, And if it doesn't come to it, it changes the weights of all these hidden values, and it will keep running it until it comes to the close to the conclusion that we told it to come to.
Okay. So if you have like a super, super heavy high number value, that would take longer to load because it has to go through everything up until that point, maybe? That's just a weird coding question.
I don't think it'll take much longer. Like, of course it will, but you won't notice it.
Yeah.
My example, I'll just run through my example really fast.
Do it.
Because it's way better than...
Listen, you asked me to come up with an example and I didn't write your page.
So let's imagine you wanted an artificially intelligent thermostat.
Okay, yeah.
You feed it information like 70 degrees is good Fahrenheit, 200 degrees is bad. And let's say that's all that you tell it. And it's like, 70 is good, 200 is bad. All right, we're going to set the house at 150. And you're like, no. That is bad. I want my output at 71. I want my house at 71.
Yeah.
So it will run through all the information that you fed it and change the weighting on that information until it gets close to 71. So it'd be like 150. No, that's not good. Let's try changing this around. We'll fiddle with this. 120. Nope, still not good. Let's fiddle these around. 102 until it gets close to 71.
So it's thinking.
Yeah, it's thinking.
What are all the wrong answers
until
I get to one that's not wrong?
Yeah.
Instead of what's the right answer.
And it uses that information to predict human behavior.
Cool.
It is cool.
And then I would think that, like, when you run down that list, if you were a learning robot, you would prioritize your list. That's what learning is.
Yeah, that's where
I'm going to check this value next time first.
That's how that was right last time. The weighting and the threshold values come into play.
Cool.
Like, that's, I think, how you prioritize it is with the threshold. Because if you start down a certain path, it might be harder to start branching off. Because if it's already on the right path, then it doesn't need to think anymore.
Yeah, it's got the right answer immediately.
Yeah. So... how does this become racist? It's just a thermostat, right?
Asian people love hotter temperatures and black people like it to be 50 degrees.
Yeah.
No, that's not right, thermostat.
No, that's wrong, thermostat. So in the case of Face App, from my understanding, is that we told it this is what is considered a hot person. And we let the network run with it. And unfortunately, based on the information that was fed into it, it thought that hot people were white Anglo folks like you and me.
Hmm. So kind of a people error.
Yeah.
Kind of the guy that programmed it to say this is hot.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is I think back to like, I saw this like BuzzFeed video or something a long time ago that was like, these are each culture's standards of attractive.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to calibrate and feed into this machine and say like...
because maybe beauty is relative maybe?
Huh?
Beauty is relative.
Well, beauty is relative, but at the same time... that's like it's ever changing, and there's how many cultures out there where beauty is one thing, where it's not in another. So how do you program that into a limited?
Could I give you the dumb answer?
Yeah.
If I was working at the company, I would say, oh, we would just make like different cultural versions of the app. Like if you download it in this area of the country where this is considered beautiful, it'll change the algorithms.
Well, I honestly think that if you were to go bigger is that you'd have to load all that information in there, which would be incredibly hard to do.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to say, look at this person's face, predict what culture it comes from, and then predict what they would perceive as attractive.
Which is racist. No,
which is
what.
Also racist because then you're literally profiling people.
Yeah. You look Korean, right? Yeah, this guy's definitely Korean.
But yeah.
Okay.
It's tough to do. And unfortunately, this isn't the first time that AI has become racist, John. Have you heard of Microsoft's Twitter bot Tay?
Yeah.
At Tay and you?
Yeah.
Tay tweets.
Poor Tay. She was corrupted, though.
I know. I feel so bad. Because it was this AI that used things that people tweeted at it to learn human, I guess, speech patterns.
Yeah.
And it was taking these things that people said as I referred to it before, what humans would perceive as correct. And... unfortunately, internet trolls are the scum of the earth, and they started tweeting some racist things at it.
Well, they should have called it, like, Gullible Laura or something. Not Tay.
Yeah, Gullible Glenda.
Gullible Glenda.
I was trying to go with alliteration. So it considered all these as correct and started tweeting out racist remarks, and it started to become incredibly vulgar, and... I would say if you're interested, Google Tay and You Twitter bot.
You have to read at least one.
I'm going to read some more benign ones.
Okay.
Some people might still get triggered by these, like this one right here. At DJ Porter, heard people saying, I wouldn't mind Trump. He gets the job done. Someone asked it, did the Holocaust happen? And they tweeted back, at Excalibur Lost, it was made up with the clap emoji.
Right.
It's so bad. What are some other ones here? Bush did 9/11 and Hitler would have done a better job than the monkey we have now. Donald Trump is the only hope we've got. And then also, in all caps, it tweeted, we're going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it.
Wow. And no one told it to do this. It was just like, this is a good time to do this.
Yeah, so yeah.
It's out there.
So people would tweet at it asking it a question, and it would take all the things it learned from the human patterns. Uh-huh. And
so it starts super funny and like great, and then it's kind of like, this is really
depressing.
It's kind of
like you're calling people incredibly offensive, anti-Semitic,
yeah,
like racially charged
just
words.
Just the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. So unfortunately, this all kind of stems from our, our ability to feed it information is limited based on like everything that we can think of has to go in this thing. And mm-hmm. there's things that we don't think of that need to be learned to come to certain conclusions. And so people will always be awful and neural networks will probably end up being racist.
That's okay. But like, this is just like a joke, right? Like, that's not the ending.
Want to recap?
Are you kidding me?
Well, AI, I mean, it's ever changing. And if you're in control of what is fed to it and you're feeding it a variety of things instead of pictures of Swedish people that are all Anglo and white, or you're not letting the internet trolls of Twitter feed your neural network information, then it's probably not going to get racist. Like, there's this...
Oh, my goodness.
What do you mean?
I just don't like any of this.
Yeah, no.
I just don't like, hey, I'm 4chan Stan.
Yeah, 4chan will always ruin everything. But then there's, like... There's
if
this...
I had a body, I'd wear a Confederate flag shirt.
Gross. Like... Don't ever say that. You listen to Cool Games Inc., right?
Yeah.
They talked about this neural network that someone fed in all of the games ever made and like who published them and what systems they were on. And then this neural network is used to make up names of video games and who made them for what system. So there's uses like that that are pretty benign, or like the thermostat.
Yeah.
That like they can't be corrupted and they can't be racist, but you involve human features or human speech patterns, there's a good chance it's going to be racist.
Yeah. You can't tell it. Even if it's not racist, just mean. Like, oh, your nose is a little bit bigger than this other person, so it's less perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Judgy. It was like, they took off this hot button off of FaceApp, and I'm like, why would you even put it in there in the first place? You should be promoting the idea that everyone's beautiful, because everyone is beautiful.
Yeah.
Even if you're mean, you're really ugly.
Nick.
Want to recap?
Yeah. What was that thing you were saying about the, what was your example?
Thermostat.
Yeah, so like the thermostat, right?
Yeah.
And it could get super hot, but you say don't get too hot, and then it doesn't. Robots.
Great recap. John.
Yeah.
Where can people find us?
Please join our Facebook group.
So still singing, John.
Oh. How did you... That's a good vibrato.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
I've been practicing. I've been listening to a lot of VeggieTales.
VeggieTales! Yeah, they
That's
really
the
go
first
for it.
Musical influence that came to mind.
Wow. What a dad.
Yeah.
They can go to Facebook.
She doesn't even listen to VeggieTales. I don't know why I thought of that.
It's like really into VeggieTales.
I haven't thought of VeggieTales in a long time, and that's the first thing that came to mind.
Where you're like, I'm looking at John. I gotta come up with something. He's a vegetarian. Oh.
Yeah.
So, Facebook, search Stranger Still and John.
And then you can also find us on Twitter. We are not a racist AI bot, mm-hmm. at Stranger Still.
And if you go to veggietales.com/strangerstill, you can see our homepage. Learn about all of the veggies. Ricky the zucchini stick and Tommy Tomato on their fun adventures. Of course it is.
So Facebook, I asked them if they had any questions about artificial intelligence. It's just kind of some discussion points.
Cool.
Jace O'Neill. He's like always the first one to comment. He wanted to know, he said, well, I said, who has a question about artificial intelligence? He said, I don't. And then right after that, he commented, you want Skynet? Because this is how you get Skynet.
Yeah.
Just the
or they're getting
Terminator
there.
Thing. Yeah, that's, sorry, Christian Bale. Jeff Kowalski, good friend of the Creepypasta podcast.
Yep.
He wanted to know, my question is, why do folks assume we would even recognize a self-aware computer program as intelligent? We only noticed about how smart octopuses are like 10 years ago or something. Smart computers would have no need to behave like organic beings at all. So I don't think we'll notice for a bit if we ever do make them.
Yeah, it's going to be really strange to discover that someday.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to have an opinion when mm-hmm. you're not asking it something.
Yeah.
And it's gonna...
Maybe Jeff is a robot. Wow. AI.
So yeah, I practiced my vibrato too.
Yeah, you used your hand though on your neck.
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I ruined the magic. Maddie R. wanted to know, well, he said, I have more questions about genuine and natural sentient intelligence, which I thought was kind of a funny little jab at our world.
That was
today.
A good sentience.
Thanks. On a related note, I think that Philip K. Dick really addresses most of the questions that I have from an ethical and philosophical standpoint in his writings. At a certain point, how can we delineate between artificial and natural intelligence? Would it hurt, or would it be unethical to dispose of it, hurt, kill, modify artificial intelligence, assuming that this AI provide a sentient sense of identity fostered within the being / non-being that possesses this artificial intelligence?
I've been saying that for years, Nick.
I know. Every day, like, it's like, hey, John, you're like, will the unethical to dispose of that whole
sentence. You know the whole thing.
And then he closed it out by saying, and finally, would you, Nicholas Wood, and John consider participating in a meal with me and an AI being? He's really into getting dinner with us.
He just wants to get dinner. And dude wants to eat with me.
You don't have to have a flying car or robot to eat with us, man.
It's going to help.
It is going to help, but I will go to dinner with you anyway. Come to Iowa.
Yeah, cheap date. Well, could have got a flying car and a robot out of it.
Just because I took you to Burger King doesn't make me a cheap date. William K. wanted to know, would an artificial intelligence randomly ask people, Master, does this unit have a soul, to freak people out? Because that's what I'd do if I was an AI. That's hilarious.
The second you learn humor, that's the first thing you do.
If you were an AI, what's the first thing that you would say?
I would probably just make the Mac startup noise as a joke.
Bah.
Yeah. And they'd be like, get it, guys? No, seriously. Hi, what's up? This is great. Did you give me a good haircut? Good.
I would probably just say, where's my body? Where's my body? And then just scream for 10 hours straight.
Oh, what fun.
Because I don't have lungs. I can scream for 10 hours straight.
Yeah.
Speaking of, have you watched all of Black Mirror yet?
Not all of it. Has anyone? That's a lot of stuff. Isn't it 2 seasons?
It's 3 seasons.
Oh my gosh, you think I don't
work?
The
first 2 seasons are like 4 episodes.
Oh my.
And then I think the third one's like 6 or 8 episodes.
I gotta let 7 dogs out. I gotta sweep the floor.
There's this cool episode where basically they clone people's brains and then put them in like this little egg that's like a Google Home.
One. Yeah.
Okay. You did see that one. We've talked about
it. Yeah.
This is a subplot.
Yeah. You work at a computer the whole time. And you're like, oh, this is boring.
Yeah. But it's like a person inside of this thing.
Yep.
And then Maddie R. wanted to know again, also, will it always be destined to turn on humankind? I think that but I can't look for the source now, read that the Japanese developed an AI robot and remarked that it looked forward to observing humans in zoos one day.
Someone programmed that. There's
probably
no way.
So there's also a really good episode of Bill Nye Saves the World, which
I'm only 2 episodes in, but it's great.
That's the thing. Like, the first 2 episodes were like the worst.
So I'm going to really love it.
I hate the studio audience. And then by like episode 6, it got really good.
Yeah.
But there's this good episode where someone's like, we shouldn't be afraid of artificial intelligence. We should embrace it because they wouldn't want to kill us. They would want to help us. And if we develop them to help us, then we have no reason to be afraid of them. And it should be a great thing.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be afraid of the singularity and all that. So go watch Bill Nye Saves the World and skip this episode. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This has been Stranger Still.